This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Overseas issues are still playing a large role in the U.S. grain markets. Producers are hoping for a large wheat crop to reduce dependence on overseas markets. Market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, gave us a rundown on what we're looking at in the grain markets.
Well, it looks like we're going to continue to see the volatility and the choppiness in the markets. I've been encouraged to this point that we've held key chart support, and yet at the same time, traders have been reluctant to push to new highs this week. I think there's a great deal of uncertainty continuing in Ukraine, particularly after the referendum in Crimea to move away from Ukraine and toward Russia. That's created additional tensions. We continue to have troops built up along the eastern Ukraine border with fears that Putin may move into more of the Ukrainian province. And so there's still a lot of concerns there. But at the same time, the markets are going on. We're seeing an increased flow of fundamental information now as the harvest progresses in South America. And as we move closer to the spring planting season in the United States, and we're starting to see the winter wheat crop break dormancy, giving us a better handle on that crop as well.
Now, last week there was a lot of buzz about China. Is that playing a role in the market still this week?
The biggest concern with China right now, which is a lingering factor for traders, is the ongoing talk about its struggling economy. It's robust economy of many years past that absorbed U.S. commodities is slowing down and growing at a slower and slower pace right now. And then this, over the last few days, word coming out of China that its largest ag bank is encouraging Beijing to speed up the liquidation or the sale of its large grain and cotton reserves to try to raise revenue to service its debt. And so that really raises a concern that maybe China is struggling to handle its debt problem, which could create more problems for its economy and be a larger threat down the road for U.S. commodities. So that's a concern that's lingering in the background behind traders. Day to day, we're trading fundamental news and money flow, but that's something the traders are watching very carefully and closely.
And as we get closer to warmer temperatures here, soon we're going to be able to get out and scout the wheat fields and see how they're doing, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Right now, the focus is on the Plains winter wheat crop, which has warmed up first this year. The Midwest remains rather cool overall, and so the crop's slower to come out of dormancy. But that's not the case in the Plains, where temperatures in the 60s, 70s, and even 80s in some cases have pulled the crop out of dormancy and have exacerbated drought problems in particularly the southwestern plains and plain states of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, where the bulk of the hard red winter wheat crop are grown, are releasing weekly crop ratings now, and those ratings continue to show week in and week out declining ratings rather than the improvement that we oftentimes see in the spring. Those ratings are very poor. In fact, we're having today wind gusts of up to 60 miles per hour in the High Plains winter wheat belt with a lot of blowing dust. So that dust, much of it comes from wheat fields and is a real concern for the future and the health of the crop. And that concern is amplified with the uncertainty surrounding Ukraine.
Right. It seems that it'd be nice this year to have a large U.S. wheat crop since there is so much uncertainty going on overseas.
Exactly right. And the crop ratings, while pulled lower by the drought in the plains, part of the problem with the crop in the plains is also winter kill. And so now when the Midwest crop slowly breaks dormancy, we'll be able to assess how much winter kill is in that crop as well. And while we're not going to run out of wheat ahead of this year's harvest, if we have a short crop here in the United States, and particularly if exports are disrupted out of the Black Sea region, suddenly the world could be looking at tight wheat supplies and the need to ration demand. That's still a big question mark. That's still a big maybe. But the futures market is all about risk premium, and that's one reason we're seeing prices supported.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Any parent can tell you that money doesn't grow on trees, but it can grow in an IRA. Country Financial Representative Wayne Schaefer suggests that you consider using your bonus check for just that, strengthening your financial status. Instead of buying another TV, invest in your future. To learn how to take advantage of this opportunity, contact Country Representative Wayne Schaefer in Jerseyville at 498-5800. Insurance products issued by Country Investors Life Insurance Company.
If fuel prices are costing you a small fortune, Area Diesel Service can help with 5 new Agricultural Diesel Solutions modules. Now over 400 applications can get up to 35% more horsepower. And these performance modules aren't just for combines, there are modules for light and medium duty trucks. Truck Edition modules will give your Powerstroke, Cummins, Duramax, Dodge, Caterpillar, and International pickups and work trucks increased horsepower and up to 3 more miles per gallon. Call 800-637-2658 or go to areadieselstore.com for more details.
Haul to Jersey County Grain's Hardin River Terminal and you'll save fuel, time, and headache. You won't have to fight traffic or wait in line forever either. Barge shipping rates are low and their prices usually beat the competition. Call Jersey County Grain in Jerseyville or Hardin or check their website for quotes at jerseycountygrain.com. You can also get daily grain bids by email or text message. See Jersey County Grain for details.
Hi, I'm Kristen Treese with M&M Service Company. Up until recently, the words convenient and financing didn't mix, but the FS AgriFinance program has changed that. FS AgriFinance enables you to secure financing through M&M Service Company for all your farming input needs. So not only do you save time, but your production needs and financial plans are all handled by people who understand your business the way you do. Ask about FS AgriFinance from M&M Service Company today. It's custom financing at your convenience.
Outdoor play really burns up the calories, and you'll want to be sure the snacks and treats you serve your children are high in nutrition. That's why when they say they're thirsty, you'll want to pour big glasses of ice-cold Prairie Farms milk or Prairie Farms chocolate milk. For Calorie Counter, Prairie Farms 2% or skim milk. And here's another surefire warm weather thirst quencher, 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer owned.
USDA will release an estimate of the amount of corn left in the nation later this month. It, along with the acreage report, also due March 31st, are likely to set the tone for corn prices in the upcoming months. Todd Gleason has more on forward figuring the grain stock number with University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
Well, it's been difficult to correctly anticipate quarterly grain stocks estimates in recent years, says Daryl Good. There have been more than a few large surprises reflected in some of the estimates. The estimated corn on hand as of December 1, 2013, for example, was surprisingly small and implied a record 2.426 billion bushels of feed and residual use of corn during the first quarter of the 2013-14 marketing year. That estimate started a price rally that was subsequently augmented by the surprisingly large export sales of corn. March 2014 corn futures increased about 70 cents from January 9th to March 7th, and the University of Illinois ag economist says while it's become difficult to anticipate the quarterly stocks estimate, it is useful to calculate the magnitude of stocks that might be considered neutral for corn prices.
A neutral estimate is one that implied that feed and residual use of corn during the first half of the marketing year supported the USDA's forecast of 5.3 billion bushels of use for the entire year. Even that calculation is difficult to make, however. The difficulty stems from the change in the seasonal pattern of feed and residual use that has occurred over the past 7 years.
Here's some history to support Good's assertion. For the 10 years from 1996-97 through 2005-06, feed and residual use of corn during the first half of the marketing year averaged 64% of the marketing year total use, in a range from 62 to 66%. For the four-year period from 06-07 through 2009-10, use during their first half of the marketing year averaged 68% of the total, in a range from 66 to 70%. And during the three-year period from 2010-11 to 12-13, use during the first half of the year averaged 74% of the marketing year total, in a range from 73 to 76%. The increase in feed and residual use of corn during the first half of the marketing year and the sharp decline in use during the last half of the year are difficult to explain, says Good.
Some of the seasonal shift in feed and residual use of corn may be associated with high corn prices and increased feeding of wheat during the summer quarter. This shift in some years may also be associated with early harvest and the resulting shift in calculated feed and residual use from the summer quarter into the fall quarter. If those factors do explain some of the shift, feed and residual use during the fourth quarter of the current marketing year might be larger than in recent years.
This, believes Daryl Good, is because corn prices are low relative to other feed ingredients, particularly wheat, and it appears that the 2014 crop will not be planted and harvested, particularly early in the Midwest. The percentage of feed and residual use of corn during the first half of the current marketing year, then, might be expected to be smaller than the 74% in recent years. The impact of PEDV on the number of hogs fed during the last half of the year, however, could also impact the seasonal pattern of corn feeding. Good thinks the balance sheet should show March 1 corn stocks of 7.147 billion bushels. Given the large amount of uncertainty about the potential seasonal pattern of feed and residual use of corn, a stocks estimate that varied from those calculations, he said, could still support the USDA projection of 5.3 billion bushels of feed and residual use for the year. The market will have to decide if the magnitude of use during the first half of the year is reasonable as a percentage of the USDA's projection for the year, or if the projection will need to be changed. You may read Daryl Good's March 1 Grain Stocks Report calculations on the FarmDoc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.